We are just flying fast and furious on a Thursday edition of the WKTY Morning Show. Dave Carney back here with you, our sports betting insider, former UNLV Rebel quarterback John Denton joining on the Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line. John, I was just chiming in with Jimmy Haggerty, who owns Stone Distribution. His company is down there in Omaha right now, actually doing some construction. And I thought, how ironic is it that our friends from La Crosse are in Omaha? You're basically on the other side of Omaha in Iowa. Serendipity. It really does follow the WKTY Morning Show.
No, it's absolutely great. And he's probably working at a good morning. It feels great. About 60 degrees out. I got a
perfect
sweatshirt on. And
perfect.
I'm ready for football, baby.
Man, I'm so ready for football, too. John, I've got to let you know, though, my wardrobe right now does include shorts, a T-shirt, and a light hooded sweatshirt because I haven't left this office. Like, I get into this hole about 4 o'clock, and I don't leave until all the good work, all the award-winning work is done and over with. But I told our audience this morning, it's looking like a gorgeous day today. 80 degrees and sunny skies. Yep. 5:30 to 7 tonight, I'll be at the La Crosse Beer House. John, pre-gaming our audience for the Washington football team taking on the New York football Giants. Before we get into our bets, John, I want to get you to weigh in on this morning's poll question. Between Daniel Jones and Taylor Heinicke, who's the worst of the two starting quarterbacks?
Wow, I couldn't even answer it because there was not another option of who knows, man. And I think, you know, obviously with the turnovers from Daniel Jones the last few years and him having a sample size of 3 years and, you know, Heinicke not having such a big sample size, I think it's kind of unfair to kind of compare the two. But obviously when the linesmakers don't move the game as much, especially when Fitzpatrick goes out, right, they don't move the line very much. I think that's a sign of, you know, disrespect on Daniel Jones' part, because they're obviously not looking at him as somebody that's gonna be, you know, a couple points more valuable than the backup quarterback for Washington. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to an ugly game tonight. It's gonna be ugly.
Yeah, it's gonna be a slop fest. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I voted Daniel Jones as the worst of the two starting quarterbacks. I like Taylor Heinicke from what I have seen so far, and last year versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that playoff game, Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team, they gave Tom Brady and company their biggest fight of that entire playoff run. I mean, the Packers didn't even give them as big of a fight as the Washington football team did. You mentioned the opening line, 3.5 here for Washington, or you said it didn't move much. It went down to 3. It ended up getting to 3 before being bet back up to 3.5. So you're right, no respect being given to Daniel Jones, and the odds makers don't think there's really much of a difference between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heinicke, which does show you something. One of our listeners, Sean Hoff, this morning, John, said this will be the game tonight that determines whether or not Cam Newton plays this year in the National Football League. What are your thoughts about that?
Who was he talking about, for the Giants or for the Washington?
Why would both of them could be on the table, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. Man, I tell you, all the ingredients are there for him to be brought back, you know, the relationship with the head coach, the injury, probably familiarity with some of the offense or some of the nuances of how he runs the football team. So I wouldn't put it past him. But again, Washington gave, Heinicke a 2-year, I think it was $4.5 million extension, guaranteed extension in the offseason.
Yeah,
so they must like him, and, they're going to ride with him, I think.
You know, I think so, too. And Kyle Allen is the backup there behind Taylor Heinicke. And Kyle Allen, a lot of folks remember, he was actually, you know, the guy that Ron Rivera went to as opposed to Cam Newton in that last season with Carolina. And when he got signed as the head coach of the Washington football team, he brought Kyle Allen with him. So I really don't think that Cam Newton gets back on the field this year. And now the Washington football team, they also have an interesting situation, which audience members wanted to make sure that we brought up, and that is Ron Rivera being a recent cancer survivor, and that Cam Newton isn't actually vaccinated right now may put Ron Rivera in a prickly position if he were to, like, bring him into the fold. And look, it's a competitive disadvantage right now. I don't know that that's why Bill Belichick had to cut Cam Newton, but I do think that it played some part into it.
It had to. Again, you're seeing it kind of even Jacksonville, right, slipped up and even said it, right? And they're like, oh, well, we're just playing. We didn't actually cut people because they were unvaccinated. it definitely comes into play. It has to. You know, it's like you said, it's a competitive disadvantage. And especially when you're talking about the quarterback position and a starting quarterback potentially, right? You're jeopardizing. You know, you're jeopardizing not only that game, but people around you in the season and so forth. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't, I don't care to get into the optics of it and what people think of it one way or the other. That is what it is. I just look at it from a football perspective, John, and I say, look, if it's a football thing and we're all in here for a very short time, which the windows are brief, more for players than they are coaches, but both are actually true. The windows are brief. I don't want any competitive disadvantages on my team. I just don't want that. And I have to imagine that plays some part into Cam Newton. But I think really and truly, to kind of just cap up this Cam Newton talk, he looks cooked, man. He really wasn't good anymore. And I don't know if he can do anything to get back to being better. I think that he's probably reached his peak and seen the best of his days. If he doesn't want to be a backup, well, that's it. He's probably not going to play anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, it's going to take something like this situation here for an injury or, you know, a backup quarterback that's in there not playing very well for him to get another shot. So they'll be limited this year. And, you know, we'll see how this pans out, though.
Yeah. Well, John, we really appreciate your time each and every Tuesday and Thursday morning here on the program. And I mentioned to our audience that you're our sports betting insider. There's a lot of reasons for that. One, you played the game. You played it at some of the highest levels. And for that and that alone, you've got a better insight than most of us will ever have on how these games and how these circumstances, especially with sports betting, are liable to work out. But there's also something that we've been honing in on here during this program, and we've spent about the last, year plus together doing these shows. We've been honing in on your ability to really get into the analytics, the industry news, and the updates that help you make smart plays. Now, we've been taking some catch-all approaches, and that was fine because sports were just coming back, right? Last year was a wild one. I didn't know how to make any plays in the NFL, and I've traditionally been a really solid picker, 58 to 60% on average for about the last 3 years, and I used to keep a running record here on the program. When we saw the bubbles and all these things with COVID, I had to crumble that up and throw it right out because it changed everything. John, we seem to be getting back on track, at least for the most part. And I know that there's still going to be a couple of outliers, but we seem to be getting back on track for the most part, which really does then lend us to go back to our analytics, to go back to our industry news, and to go back to some of our trends, because that's where we can find the true meat and potatoes when it comes to sports betting. So with all of that laid out there, what are your thoughts about week two in the NFL and week three in college football? Who are you looking at this week and why?
Yeah, so I'll just touch on what you just said there. And I think from, you know, as long as you include a decent sized data set, last year's anomaly of a season affected a lot of people, not just in the sports world, but, you know, again, just in the sports betting world, but in the sports world in general, right? So I think when you lump that year into, you know, a 20-year data set, right, I don't think you need to worry as much. But when you're looking at more recency bias or like more 1-, 2-, 3-year trends, then I really do think you should throw some of that stuff out last year, some of those anomalies. But, you know, I follow a company online, as you do. We talk about on this show called Wager Talk. And there's a gentleman on there who gets deep dive trends and analysis. And it's free. It's free information, folks. And like I said, I'm just here to relay some free information to the potential sports bettors of Wisconsin that are coming in the future, right? And I think that's what I'm here for. And I'm not a handicapper, right? I don't sell my picks. I don't do anything that. But I try to make money when I bet, and you do as well, Dave. So getting into the trends and analysis, for me, it's my daily job in life. I love data. So I look at data sets that are just, you know, sticking out with like a red light. And there's a couple this week, man, in college football, more so than in the NFL, just because we're at week three of college football, and you're starting to get teams that are stepping up in competition. Some are starting conference play. You really start to find out which teams are legit and which teams are really false, right? And I think when you look at this dynamic here, and I texted you this, when you look at teams that are 2-0, okay, on the season, if they're a favorite of 14 points or more in week three, the last 6 years, this is the data set, the last 6 years, they're only clipping at 42.6% against the spread.
Wow. That's not good.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just
saying,
that's
not good.
So
when you dial that back one step further in the data set and you look at home favorites that are 2-0 and minus 14 points or more, they're only clipping at 40% against the spread. And there's 9 teams in the docket this week that fit that. I'll send those over to you. You can post those on your website. We won't get into all that, all 9 of those plays. But I will say, sure, there were some big winners last week, right, that are on this list that are heavy favorites this week that, you know, one of those trap games, sandwich games, look-ahead games, all that good stuff. So I'll give you the other data set here. We looked at 2-0 teams versus 0-2 teams. Just straight up, 2-0 versus 0-2, 2-0 covered 59% of the time. Hmm. Now, when you put in the home favorite of minus 14 points,
yeah,
and you got 2-0 versus 0-2, 64.3%. So when you do your research this week and you look at, there's a few teams that fit that bill. I'll send those over to you too, as well as later. But when you're talking about getting into the numbers, week three in college football allows you to really dial in on the fake and the legit of these teams.
Yeah, and that's really what we're looking for, John. I'm just kind of like, as I'm jotting down some of these notes, I get stunned by some of the information that you bring up. And that's one of the reasons that I'll include today's audio as part of the John Denton special on the Rockies Daily Play Sports Betting Column, because I want to give our audience a chance to re-listen to this if they happen to miss out. But I think about some of these stats, and then I wonder how they'll be applied in interesting circumstances and situations. So let me ask you about this one particular game. Washington State hosting USC. USC just fired Clay Helton. USC is currently, I want to say, 8.5 points as a favorite against the Washington State team. I don't think there has been a lot of analytics that have gone into this, but a quick look, I'm seeing teams that fire their coaches and how they're able to cover. Most of them don't in the week that precedes, or at least that follows the firing of their coach. What would you do about that game?
Actually, I think from the research that I've done, it's kind of the exact opposite.
Is it? Okay, so they are covering.
Yeah. And I don't have exact data. And again, there's data set that I could look at. We could pull that. But I'm pretty sure that, and it goes for most sports, right, that are from college to pros and whatever you play, NFL or NBA. But if a coach gets fired, right, the team always responds the game after. They always have a downfall the following week, right? So it's always a week two drop off.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's maybe what I was looking at. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a natural thing to go out there as a player. And again, I've read it, I've heard it. Sharp handicappers, guys that make tons of money in this business, have always said that it's always a good idea to look at, right, the mojo of the team or the Twitter feeds of everybody that's around. Like, do your research and see what the mojo is. And a lot of times those guys think, hey, you know, our back's against the wall. Our coach just got fired. Let's go out there and play for him. And then next thing you know, it's kind of like that emotional high or that emotional roller coaster comes down in that second week after the firing. And that's when you usually get a letdown.
Man, with this USC team, though, I'm not sure. I feel like all these cats are ready to hit the transfer portal. Like, they're just bailing out on the season. They're already 0-2. And Washington State, listen, they're not a good team or even a great team. I don't know about this USC squad right now. They're soft, John. I mean, they're soft.
Well, they may be soft. You're right. But like I said, the only thing that they're a heavily aggressive offensive team, or a mind they are. They have a heavily aggressive set of weapons on offense, right? So I think they've just kind of lagged in the running game a little bit. And when you have a Heisman Trophy kind of first round, second round kind of quarterback that's on that fringe of draft pick, and Keaton Slovis, like, I don't think these guys are ready to mail it in quite yet, at least this game coming in. And again, this goes back right into what I said. These kids probably want to come out and bow up a little bit and show that,
yeah,
hey,
that's true.
You know, it was, you know, we're going to play for Coach Helton, or we're going to play for the new coach or whatever it is, right?
You know, Helton didn't have a terrible record. We're talking to John Denton, our sports betting insider at USC. He just couldn't cover the number or really win big games, but especially covering the number against, like, top-tier opponents, Helton was awful at that. And for that, I'm kind of glad that USC let him go. I said this morning in a big lead that Urban Meyer making mention yesterday there's no chance he's leaving Jacksonville for USC makes me think that Urban Meyer is going to take that job and go back to college, because, John, let's face it, Urban Meyer, he is not going to be a professional coach. This is not a thing for him. He started off this deal with Jacksonville hiring Steve Doyle, disgraced strength trainer that was, like, fired from Iowa after being the highest paid guy in the country for years. He's got boom mics on the field and telling guys to get to their next period and be sure to stay hydrated. I'm like, you're going back to college, man. And he'll take the USC job, right? Or am I wrong about that?
See, I don't think he. I mean, I think he goes back to college.
He might stay in the NFL for a year.
I just think the window is not right. If it would have happened last year prior to him getting the Jacksonville, I think he would have taken it,
yeah,
for sure. But I think he's going to honor at least a few years and give the NFL a run. I just think he's he's got too much pride, too much ego to say, hey, I'm not going to give this NFL thing a try. I got the number one pick. Let me see how it works out. I don't think it happens at all.
All right, big guy, before I let you go this morning, because we're having a lot of fun talking to John Denton, our sports betting insider, who you can follow on Twitter at Johnny Utah, NNY_Utah, Y-U-T-A-H. Iowa State, a team that, let us down last week in the John Denton special, not covering the number. Brock Purdy looked all sorts of bad. they're laying 31.5 to 32 points, depending on the shop, against our UNLV Rebels, which will be at the Allegiant Stadium, where the Raiders welcomed in 69,000 screaming fans. Talk to me about this game briefly, John. 31, 32 points, that's a ton to lay for any team. I know that UNLV is bad, but this looks like a game for me. After I saw what I saw from Iowa State and Brock Purdy last week, this looks like a game for me, and one of the only that I can recall in recent memory, that I would probably play UNLV plus money. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to talk about the Rebels at this point in time, because they're frustrating me just from a fan point, standpoint. From an offensive standpoint, we don't take shots downfield, right? We're a dink and dunk spread option. We'll get 3 yards with the quarterback, who, by the way, got banged up in the second half or early in the game last week. I think he only threw like four passes. So our starting quarterback's probably 50-50 for the, and he's the one that makes the offense go. So if we have to go with the backup Justin Rogers or the backup Tate Martell, we had 19 total yards in the second half last week against Arizona State. So when you're talking about stepping up into technically a top 15 football team, right? Iowa State, they're coming with 20,000 fans. I know a lot of them from out here are hopping the train. They're getting out there. Here's the thing is that I don't know if they'll cover by 30, but you know, UNLV is going to have a tough time moving the ball against these guys. And Brock Purdy, no better game to have to get back on the right track than UNLV and the secondary that Eastern Washington torched for 380-something yards.
Yeah, so I guess.
That's all I'll say about
that.
All
right, I guess you're right, which I'll just leave us with this morning, and we'll feel better about this. There is a play that you could make on the game, under 52, because if what you're telling me is correct, then that means UNLV's got no chance to score, and Iowa State's not going to score 52 by themselves. That just won't happen. So take the under 52. If you're afraid of that number, plus 31.5 or 32, I don't blame you. John, have a great rest of your...
Throw it in with a teaser, a six-point teaser. Put it up to 58 or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And maybe buy some points. I mean, hey, tie these things together, buy some points, and move that number up to 40, and then you can feel comfortable taking UNLV plus that money.
There you go.
JD, thanks again for everything. Awesome having you aboard. We'll catch up with you real soon. I know that you and I will talk over the weekend, but until next Tuesday here on the WKTY Morning Show, man, thanks for everything. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
No problem, Dave. Yeah, no problem. Have a great weekend.
That's awesome stuff as always. Johnny Utah on Twitter, JONNY_YUTAH. All right, Thursdays. You know, Thursdays get crazy here on the WKTY Morning Show. If you're just waking up and tuning us on, it's going to be 80 degrees today. If you haven't yet taken the Flip Side Bar and Grill daily poll question, please do so. WKTYSports.com, Twitter at WKTY. If you haven't signed up for the WKTY Sports Blast, thanks to our friends at Features in West Salem, do that too. It gives you a rundown. Who do we have coming on the show? What are we going to talk about? Up next, we've got Mike Clemens with the second of our three Green Bay Packer updates. Scott Robert Shaw in the WIZM newsroom. I'll come back and give us an update here on this morning's poll question. Which of the two quarterbacks playing tonight is the worst, Daniel Jones or Taylor Heinicke? At about 8:15, we'll spend time with Bob Ibeck here on the Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line. Hang around.